Accession number 11440, Real 8.
Mr. Walter Hare, Real 8. You told me the story of how you got home on leave in late 1917.
Yes.
Do you remember what you did on your leave?
Very little. During the day, there's not much to do in a village, really. We're not a sort of village entertainment. I stayed at home and helped Mother a bit, you see, and we talked about what experience I'd had in France up to then, this place we'd been to, and I bought a map home, which I shouldn't have had, but I kept it, and I marked on this map all the places that I'd been to in France up to then, so that when she listened to the news and my father, they could know something about the places I'd been to. I tried to explain what it was like as far as I could, not giving them the horrid details, but just the lighter aspects of the war.
So you deliberately, you tried not to upset her then?
I tried not to upset them, yes. I didn't tell them about the awful things that had happened, about the all what it had been like on the Somme, the mud and the dying and the dead and that kind of thing. No, I kept that away from them, you see, because I didn't want to think, they knew I was going back to it, and I didn't want to think I was going back to that sort of thing, you see. So, and
do you think they understood, though? Did they have a grasp of what it was like?
I don't think they did. I don't think anybody did. And I didn't tell them the worst features on purpose.
Did you get any sort of reception from the other people in your village?
Oh, in the village, yes. They were all very anxious to see me and have a bit of talk to me and glad to see me back again. And they wanted to know how my brother was because they knew he was out in France as well. And he was in with the Leeds pals, and of course they were working alongside of us, so I often saw him, you see, and they asked me about various things, how I was gone on and that sort of thing.
Were you worried about going back?
Not particularly, no. I don't think I was. Not unduly worried. I realised that it wasn't going on a picnic, but I'd got so used to it, I thought it was part of my life then.
So, do you remember much about the journey back?
No, I don't remember anything at all about it. When I went back, I went to Calais, of course, and got trained from there. And I had to ask, I didn't know where the battalion had got to. We didn't know whether if they'd moved in the meantime, so I had to, I don't know where, or some transport office or something, where the battalion was, which station had to aim for. And they were still on the Arras front, so I knew where I was going to be. I was going to Mont-Saint-Éloy.
So you'd stayed on the, you were still on the Arras front.
Still on the Arras
when
front.
When you arrived in the spring, before Gavrelle,
yes,
right through until the deep winter, you were variously at
on the ridge
Gavrelle
somewhere.
Gavrelle and
right up,
Arlo.
Yes. Yes, we went up to Arlo, and we spent, I've been trying to think about it, and we spent the rest of the time in and out at Arlo, what we called the Arlo Loop. It was a trench that ran round the front of the village. And it wasn't a bad sector, wasn't that? There wasn't too much. It wasn't anything like as bad as Gavrelle, I didn't think.
Well, how, both, but the Vimy Front, did it have any general differences, the Arras Front, from the Somme?
The complete difference between from the Arras Front and the Somme, because the Somme was mud, and the Arras Front was all sort of chalk and grit and that kind of thing. It was solid ground.
And did that make life easier?
Much easier. Oh, yes. You had to keep yourself cleaned up, but it was brushing the dirt off instead of scraping it off.
Were there any other differences?
Well, yes, it was ration parties and everything. It was easy to get your rations up. It was easier to, when you were getting relieved. It was always night relief there because you couldn't move out at daytime because going up the ridge, you were under observation all the time. But it was always, I thought it was easier there, getting relief and going back into the line again.
What about rats?
No, there were, we weren't bothered much with rats on in Vimy, in the Vimy sector, on the ridge. At least I didn't see many.
So it was East Move, but from what you said about this, there was more artillery fire at Vimy or Gravel.
There was more artillery fire, yes, yes. But you see, we didn't have the problem with the wounded and the dead there that we had on the Somme. You could get them out without any problem.
Is there anything else you remember about your time at Arlo?
Yes, there were one time I hadn't been very well, and the sergeant major, we were always said to be friendly somehow, and he realised I wasn't very well, and so he had a little hut at the side of the road, and he got me into this hut. He said, "You better come in here," and he let me lay in his hut for a bit, and he drugged me with rum, lots of rum.
Was wrong with you? What was wrong with
you? I didn't know. I just felt really ill. I think I'd got flu, really. But he realised at night, he said, you can't stay here, you'll have to go out, there's no good. Well, I knew I couldn't get out on my own steam, but as I told you, there was a little light railway used to come up, bring our rations up, and a little sort of a buggy on the thing. And at night, when the rations came up, he arranged for a couple of men to go with me and get me onto this little light railway, and they took me back on this, as stretcher bearers took me, you see. And we got back to Mont Saint-Eloi, to Ottawa Camp, I think it was, the Mont Saint-Eloi. And we had a few medics around there, you see, and they looked after me. And I went to bed there. They talked about sending me down to Etaps, but I didn't want to go because I knew what Etaps, I'd heard what it was like. I said, "Don't send me down there, let me stay here."
What had you heard?
I'd heard that if you were in Etaps a couple of days, you wanted to be back in the line again. It was better in the line than at Etaps. It was a hellish spot, they used to say. Fortunately, I never was there, and I didn't want to go because I heard so much about it. So they kept me there, and I stayed there until the battalion came out. And I was a bit better then. They gave me some drugs of some sort. I don't know what it was. We had a medical officer, of course. Rush, they called him. Paddy Rush. He was a nice chap, and he was concerned about you. See, I always went in the line with us, but this particular time, he'd stayed out. And they got me back all right. So, but when the battalion were relieved, I joined them again. And after that, I was all right. I think I'd had flu or something like that.
Did you attend any religious services in or out of the line with the?
Well, no, where you could do. No, there were we had two padres, with a Methodist padre and a Church of England padre. And
what were they like?
Well, I still have the card for the Church of England.
That was you, wasn't it, Church of England?
No, I was Methodist.
Sorry.
I was Methodist, yes. And it was a younger man was a Methodist man. The Church of England pastor, a bit older man. But there was one time he came up, it was in the Gavel, we hadn't been in there long, and the Church of England parson came up at morning and talked to the officers a bit and had a word with a few of us that were on the headquarters staff, stretcher bearers and runners and those sort of people. And then the colonel said, "Would he like to see our C company? We're in the front line." He said, "No," he didn't think he would go that morning. The colonel told him it was a bit difficult getting up, it was a bit dangerous and that. And he said, "No." And he went. Well, later on the day, this Methodist younger man came up and he had a word with the officers, and then he said he'd like to see all the lads while he was up. And the colonel said, "Well, I shouldn't bother going up to the..." I think it was the adjutant told him, he said, "I wouldn't go up to the front, it's a bit difficult getting up there." And he said, "I want to see them all when I'm here." And I was detailed as the runner to look after them. They always had somebody, I see. So I took him round the companies in the support line, and I said, "Now, it is a bit difficult getting up." I said, "It's dangerous." I said, "There's a few snipers on, and the machine guns on." And he said, which way do you go? I said, well, there's a communication trench up the right-hand side there. He says, all right, lead on. Yeah, and I'll follow you, which he did. And, you know, the chaps were so pleased to see him. And he brought a box of Woodbines with him, and he gave all the chaps a packet of cigarettes, you know. And I thought, now, they thought a lot about him, did a lot of the lads, that when it was the Church of England chap that had a service, very few of them went. But when he was the younger chap, the Methodist, a lot more people went to him. I think because they knew he'd risked his life to come and see them, you see. And that was the thing that always impressed me.
What about Christmas? Do you remember any Christmas celebrations?
Well, we didn't have any. We didn't. They used to say that the fighting stopped for Christmas, and we not where we were, didn't.
When you were out of the line, would they organise a sort of do for you at Christmas? Or, I mean, you know, a week late. When you
I was actually in the line at Christmas time, so there were no celebrations. No. I think it was a bit quieter. There wasn't quite as much shelling going on and that kind of thing. But there wasn't a stop, but there wasn't a halt or anything like that. The shelling went on occasionally, and the occasional machine gun and rifle fire. But it was a bit what we would call quiet.
As a religious man, how did you feel about, you know, fighting on Christmas Day?
I didn't think much about it. It was my job, and I was doing it.
Now, you stayed at Arlo until the battalion was broken up, wasn't it? And you joined the...
Yes.
The Leeds
part. Yes, we were broken up, and we could opt out if we wanted to.
Why were you broken up?
Because there'd been four battalion in a brigade, and I think four brigades in a division, and they altered it. We'd had so many casualties, I think they hadn't sufficient men to keep those four battalions going. So in each brigade, they broke one battalion up, and ours happened to be the one that was broken up. And after that, there were three battalions in a brigade instead of four. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think there were three brigades in a division instead of four as well. They didn't tell us the reason, but we realised what it was, that they hadn't sufficient men to fill up for the ones we'd lost.
How did the battalion feel about being broken up?
Pretty bad. Because they'd been together for so long, and we were sort of all companions and mates and that, and we felt rather, you know, a bit upset about it. I didn't feel quite so bad because I opted out to go to the 15th, the Leeds Pals, because my brother was with them.
So that's the 15th Battalion, West
Yorks? West Yorks, yes.
And you were actually allowed to choose, were you?
You could. You could opt. They weren't sure to get it, but you were allowed to state if you'd like any particular unit, there was any reason why they'd go then. And so I said I would like to go because I had a brother in the 15th West Yorks, and we'd worked along with them for so long, so I knew I'd be all right there. And I knew some of the chaps were in the 15th West Yorks as well.
So that was in February 1980?
I think it would be January.
January?
Yes.
And what exactly, which part of the battalion did you go into? Were you put in a company or were you attached to headquarters as a runner?
I was put in a company then, yes.
And were you a runner? That's when you stopped being
That's
a
when
runner.
I stopped, yes, yes.
And which company was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't remember.
How were you received into the battalion?
Well, I knew a few of the chaps there, so I was all right, yes. There were quite a lot of our chaps opted to go into the 15th West Yorks.
Was there a sort of regional rivalry between... I mean, you weren't from Bradford either, but I mean...
No.
When they were mingled together, was there any...
I think there was, yes. Some were Bradford men and some were Leeds men, and they were completely different, you see. We thought we were the best, the Bradford pals, and I think the Leeds pals thought they were the best, you see. But we knew we were the best.
What sort of rivalry was it, friendly or otherwise?
Friendly, oh yes. We used to kid each other a bit about them being a second-rate mob.
And which company were you in?
I don't know. I can't remember which company I was in with the 15th.
So Where were they? I mean, did you carry on in the Arlo Loop area?
Yes. Well, we carried on, went in and out with them, yes.
Well, how would you compare their military efficiency with the efficiency of the Bradford Powers?
Well, I think they were about the same, if there was any efficiency.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there wasn't a lot, really. You were more or less left to your own devices, with every man for himself to look to do the best he could.
Would you rather have been a runner than back into the as an ordinary?
Well, I rather liked being a runner because I felt as I was doing a particular job, and I enjoyed mooching about and finding my way to new places, and especially if I had to take a message to find the battalion on the left and find the, you know, that was, it was something interesting to do. And when we were...
But it was more dangerous.
It was more dangerous. Oh, it was more dangerous. Yes, it was. But it didn't bother me a great deal, didn't that? And if we were going to a new area, and I knew my job was going to be to conduct power company, and I used to reconnoitre it first, go up to the line and see the area, what it was like, so that I knew it would make it easy for me when I was taking them in.
You'd lost all that.
I lost all that.
Had you ever thought of trying to become an NCO or even an officer? Cause
well, yes. We had an opportunity. There was.
When was that?
It was. Oh well, it was in. It was just after Gavrel, I think it was. And there were two or three of us. The colonel had us in, and he had a talk to us, and he said they were very short of office, and there was one or two of us he thought would make good officers, and would we think seriously about it? And one or two did, but I said, no, thank you, I didn't.
Why was that?
Well, I've seen too many officers killed.
You just thought it was too dangerous?
Well, I didn't fancy being moving from being a private to be, and go back to England and spend 3 months perhaps training as more to be an officer, and... It didn't appeal to me at all.
What about being an NCO, though? There's that intermediate stage of a corporal or a sergeant.
No, I wasn't. I never... I was quite as satisfied as I was.
Now, did anything happen while you were with the Leeds Pals before the Germans' big attack in March?
Nothing that I know of. No, I think it was just in and out of the line.
Could you take us through, then? Because this was... quite a long story. How did this all... the Germans attacked in the 21st... What was your first inkling of what was going on?
The first inkling we had was we were told that we were going to move. We had to be get prepared to move at a minute's notice. I think it was during the night sometime. And we were marched to some buses that were already waiting. And... we went on these buses, and then I don't know how far we went, and we pulled up, and then we were all debussed. We were given extra biscuits, I think a tin of bully beef between so many of you, and then an extra bandolier of ammunition, and then we were told that the Germans had broken through, and they didn't know how far they'd got. But we were there to try to stop them. And they spread us out about 4 or 5 yards apart each and told us we're to move forward until we came to somebody, either our own men or the Germans.
Now, which area was this in?
Well, we didn't know then. We had no idea where we were. We'd travelling on buses at night time, you see. So they told us we're to keep going forward until we found somebody, but make sure that it was either our Germans before we shot, you see. So we did, and I don't know how far I went, maybe a couple of miles, I would think. And eventually I came to a chap in a very shallow trench. There'd been trenches there, but they tried to dig them a bit deeper. And he said, oh, have you come to relieve us? I said, I don't know. He said, well, we were told we were getting relieved. So it must be you. So I said, well, where are we? He said, oh, St. Ledger, that we're near St. Ledger. I said, oh, yeah. And he said, I don't think there's anybody in front of me. I've come back about 2 miles, I think. And he said, the Germans are not far away, I don't think. He said, I don't think there's any of our men in front of us. He said, so, you know, be careful.
Now, where were the rest of your unit and the rest of his unit?
They were all spread out. Some of them got into this trench as well, you see. There was a few of us together. With no officers with us then that I could see, or NCOs or anybody. We'd been told to, it was look after ourselves, do the job ourselves, you see. But soon they got sort of organised, more men got up, and we got a few officers and NCOs up. And we stayed there that night. We got our own trench, we were told to dig the trench a bit deep, if we possibly could, you see. We spent most of the night digging with our trenching tools, and made a bit better cover for ourselves, made ourselves a parapet as well, and waited to see what happened. But we soon saw the next morning, because they started lobbing bombs over, and the Germans, we could see them approaching. So we held on. My brother was on a machine gun, a Lewis gun, and there was a railway cutting there, and he was at the edge of the railway. And he told me later, he said, he saw bands of Germans coming up the railway cutting, you see. And he said, I used my gun on them, and he said, I soon scattered them back. Well, we held them up. They kept firing, and eventually they got the mini werfers, the whiz-bangs up, and started lobbing them over into the trenches. And I think we stayed there 2 days. And then, I don't know how we got there. I was near the regiment sergeant major most of the time, and he seemed to get to know information from somewhere. And he said, we've got to get out of here as soon as we can, when we find an opportunity. We've got to get back to the village down this road. It was Boyle's, actually. I didn't know at the time then. He said, we've got to get to try and hold that village, if we can. So, he said, now, from now on, you'll have to get out on your own steam when you see the opportunity. When I got along this trench, and I got right on the side of this road leading down to Boyle's, and I thought, now, as soon as there's a stop in the machine gun fire, I'll get out on this road. I'll be able to run quickly and get away. And I was just preparing when they lopped one of these heavy mortar bombs over into our trench, and everybody went down like that, the whole lot of us. There'll be about 7 of us in this bit of trench, and the stretcher bearers came, and I said, where have you got it? I said, it's on my leg. So he looked at the other, he said, I'm afraid there's nobody else left, they're all dead except me. I said, it's on my leg here. So he got his knife and he slit my trousers down. He says, hard luck, old man, you've got it flat. He said, it would have taken your leg off if you'd got it. I'd got a great big piece of this bomb, shell or whatever it was, flat on my leg, and it was all bruised round. It was very sore and very painful, but I wasn't cut. He said, your leg would have come off if you'd got it sideways, you know, on the edge of it. He said, do you think you'd be able to manage the stretch bar? I said, yes. He said, well, I can't do anything with the other chaps. And he said, I'll leave you. And he went away. So when there was a lull, I got out on the road. I leapt and I ran, you see. And I got maybe about a mile, I should think, down this road. And I saw a chap outside a hut having a shave. I said to him, hey, mate, I said, you better not stop there. I said, there's nobody else behind me. There's Jerry over that ridge. He said, oh, yes. And he went, I said, I'm not kidding you. It's truth. He said, do you mean? I said, there's nobody behind me except Germans. I said, you'll see them here in almost no time. There's a crowd of them coming forward. So I said, I'll get missing. So I looked inside his hut, and it was a quartermaster's stores, and there's a lot of clothes in, you see. So I said to him, are you the quarter block? He said, yes. I said, well, can I have a pair of trousers? He said, look at mine, they were slit down. He says, help yourself. So I went in and grabbed a pair of trousers, put them under my arm. And I kept them. I thought, well, I'll get into these sometime. But when I looked at them, they'd been made for a guardsman, a lot bigger than me, and they were riding breeches. Yeah, they were artillery men, you see, the sort of breeches things you would... I thought, well, never mind, they're better than what I've got. They are in one piece. We fought from... I think there were a few people still living in Boyells. I'm sure that it was partly occupied. But we stayed there. We went... I was with the sergeant major. I got up to him, and we went from house to house, down street after street, and eventually we were nearly surrounded. We got orders to retire to Hamlin Court.
Now, was this the same side that you'd known in the...
Hedham Sergeant Major, yes. He went with us.
He went with you?
He went with us. Yes, he went...
The same man?
He was the same man. He'd been regimental sergeant major with them, but he was demoted to sergeant major, company sergeant major.
I just wondered how you'd known him, if you weren't a runner, that sort. Yes,
yes.
Carry on, sorry.
So we stuck together all the time, and we got into Hamlin Court, and we tried the same thing there, and that was partly occupied as well. I think it had been brigade headquarters, then moved back as the Germans were advancing. And eventually we got...
How many troops were there with you? I mean...
Oh, we were scattered groups, just little parties, maybe a dozen of us, you see. But we weren't an organised battalion at all. We were individual groups fighting our own rearguard action. And anyway, somebody must have given orders. And we had orders to retire, and we were told to get back to Moyenville.
So did anything in particular happen at Hamlin Corps? I
mean, no, the Germans were advancing. We could see them coming forward, and we moved from house to house and street to street. That was the only time I'd ever done any street fighting there in Boyells and Hamlin Court. But we got out eventually.
How did street fighting differ? What was it like at that time?
Well, you were just waiting round the street corner for the German coming and having a pot at him and then away. Get away, that sort of thing. It was completely different to us, you see. It was something completely new to trench warfare. In fact, the whole of that retreat was, it was open warfare. We'd not been used to anything like that. We'd never been trained for it either. We got to Hamlin Court and... Sometime later, we got an order, we had to retire. We had to get further back to another line, which somebody had organised a place where we were going to stay. And we found ourselves on this sunken road near Moyenville, and we were told we're to stay there, no more retiring. That was fine.
Now, who told you that?
Pardon? Somebody gave the order that we had to stay there. No more retiring, that was our final retirement. We had to hold the Germans up there. So we dug into the embankment at the... You've seen that, the picture of this. We dug into the embankment at the side, and the sergeant major was close by me, still there. And the Germans were advancing, wave after wave after wave. And what few machine guns we had, we were using them, and we fired at them with our rifles. We'd only, I think, one machine gun for a platoon, a Lewis gun. We were short of firepower, but we did the best we could, and we did hold them up, and they kept some of the dead ones. They were using them as protection. The Germans, they were firing from behind them. We could see this, so we knew there was a lot of damage.
Now this was, you were holding this road from the 26th of March, in your notes it says.
In my notes, I think we were...
To the
28th, yes. There's been a bit of discussion about this. Some places say it was 27th only, but I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it was the 2 days. Of course, they couldn't get any more ammunition up, and they couldn't get any food up to us at all, either. So we went 2 days with no food.
Were you under much return fire?
But did they, the Germans, retire?
No, were they firing back at you?
Oh, yes, and they got a lot of machine guns up. There were tremendous fire. In fact, a lot of the chaps were killed by... looking over the top of the ridge, you see, and firing at the Germans. The chap next to me, we were kept getting up and having a shot at them and then bobbing down again quick. And the chap next to me got up, he was gushing to have a shot, but he fell backwards. He got a bullet through his head, he was dead, you see. So I thought, no, that I better not fire up with the sergeant major, because he had a revolver, so he couldn't do anything. He hadn't a rifle. So
what about mortar fire or shell fire? Were you...
No, it was all there on that particular road. We didn't have any. I think they hadn't got the shells up by that time. They would have done later on, but I think they hadn't. You see, they were advancing so quickly that they hadn't got the. And we know, as far as I know, with no covering fire from our guns at all, they'd had to retire, get out of the way. You see, the whole of the engagement, I think the only help we had were for the 18-pounder guns. And they were very good. They used to come up and fire a few shots and then pull out again, because it was all horse-drawn transport, you see. They couldn't move the guns so quickly, it was later years.
Yeah.